you've been singing with that message long. It means God so much in all of our hearts, I know. John and the 16th chapter, we have been looking at a few pages of love. It's our desire to finish where we started off this morning. We looked at the Father's love for the Son's love for the Father, and the Son's love for you and for me, for his own. And we noticed that that was an individual love. It is a personal love, the love of the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for the Father, and his love for us individually. It is a personal love. Aren't you glad he loves you? I know you are. But now with that before you, let us look at the Father's love for you and for me tonight. Chapter 16 of John and the 27th verse. Now the Father himself loveth you. Now let that soak in just for a moment. The Father himself loveth you. That dawns in upon you. Has that gripped you? You know the joy and the thrill of that lovely experience. Not just a text of scripture, but a living bodily reality in your own heart. This came over my spirit life evening, the early hours of the morning. The Father himself loved you. And the thrill of that never left me. The Father himself loveth you. Hearing that before you, go down to chapter 27 and verse number 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Notice this, as thou hast loved me. He said this morning that the Son's love for us is just an extension of the Father's love for him, is the very same in measure and in perfection, the very same love. The Lord emphasized the same, I'll read it that way. Hath loved them, that's the Father, loving us. As his love the Son. Oh, the mighty value of these words. Now go down to verse number 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, may be in them, and I in them. Now does that not do something to your heart? Recognize the very same love with the Father loved the Son. Is the love he's loving you with tonight and loving me with. Because we are his own dear children. We sometimes speak these words and sing them. So dear, oh dear I cannot be, for the very love, with the love of his Son, such is his love for me. So near, so very near, oh dear I cannot be, in the birth of his Son, I am as near as he. Now, with all that, before you go across the 1 John and the very 3rd chapter, 1 John, and that's the epistle, and the 3rd chapter. Remember now, we're dealing with a Father's love for us individually and as a family. The Gospel of John is written that we might believe. And the epistle is written that since we do believe, we might know that we have eternal life. Now this is here a family picture. I'd like you to remember that. As you read verse number 1 of John, 1 John 3. Behold, standing all, standing utter amazed in wonder. Is this still your heart with wonder and amazement with the holy awe of the night? Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God, the divine virgin, and such we are. Aren't you glad tonight you are a child of God? Thy faith in Christ Jesus says to one, but aren't we all God's children? Who the loving God is the creator of all mankind. He is the Father only of those who have believed on His Son. Galatians 3, verse number 26. Now are ye the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. John 1, verse number 12. But to as many have received Him, that they gave you power, the legal right, to become, a time when we were not, to become the sons of God, even though they believe on His name. Now because we are His children, and His Spirit now indwells us, as it says, remember, in Galatians 4, verse number 6, because we are sons, because we are children, God sent all the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Is the Spirit of the Son within the same Abba, Father? Oh, the one that glory is through tonight. Abba, Father, we approach Thee in the Savior's present name. We, Thy children, here assembly, access to Thy presence. And now it says here, behold, what manner of love. Remember the saying concerning Christ, what manner of child is this? They said, what manner of man is this? Now here we have, what manner of love is this? And the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are a people of great dignity. We are the children of God. What an honor. What a privilege. What dignity is ours tonight. To be born in the royal family. What an honor. To have royal blood surging through your veins. You're held in high esteem. Need appreciation. You're honored. You're lauded. You're praised. Because you belong to the royal family. So I go to great regard for the royal family. All that feels insignificant. You do not recognize you're a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are a child of God. That should bring a gleam into your eye, a spring into your step, a glow in your countenance, a radiance above your whole body. Why, I am a child of God. My friends and good coming tonight. And you're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not only have we a people of dignity, the very same verse 31 John 3 says, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. We are a people of distinction. Not only are we a people of dignity, the sons of God, but we are a people of distinction. The world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Now isn't that a remarkable statement? He says, these are in the world, and I am no longer in the world. Now he says, the world knows them not, because it knew Him not, and because of the evening hour we are identified with Him, having His own Spirit indwelling us. We are a marked people. We are a unique people. There's nobody like us. We are a people without a match. We are a dignified people. We are a distinct people, a people of distinction. You like to think that at times, don't we? But it's perfectly true. That's what God's saying about you. That's what God's saying about me. We are a dignified people. We are a people of distinction. The world knows it not, because it knew Him not. When the unsaved person can understand you, there's something wrong with your testimony. We are an enigma. We are an amazement. We are a wonder. The unbeliever, but going down to Florida at this time of year to a conference, hear someone speak, why, you must be off your rocker. You don't understand the joy, nor the thrill that's yours tonight. because you've got the very precious life of Jesus Christ in you, the very Spirit of Christ indwelling you, all the reality of this, you are people of distinction. I want to emphasize something here, maybe an encouragement to you. It is just this. In 1 Peter it says, we are a peculiar people. Oh, you say that more lightly, Jim. That word peculiar does mean an oddball, not a square. There is sort of twofold meaning. A people beyond the ordinary, and a people for his own possession. And that's just what we are. We are a people beyond the ordinary. We are beyond the ordinary in our birth. We are born not of blood, not of the flesh, not of the will of man. We are born of God. We are beyond the ordinary in our relationship. We are now the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are beyond the ordinary in our citizenship. Our citizenship in heaven, from whence also we live for the Savior. We are beyond the ordinary in our companionship. Our companionship with the Father and the Son in the Holy Ghost, and with all who out of a pure heart call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, we are an extraordinary people. We are a people beyond the ordinary. Now, please never lower that standard. Never let it come down to the level of the ordinary people. Especially in your phraseology and in your language. Don't get the modern jargon of this spirited world. You're beyond all that. You're a heavenly people, and you should have a heavenly language, not the slang of this whole world. Oh, my friend, you are a distinct people. And remember, there were no other very words that the other days gone by. Their speech, the rest they, the cry, and it's true. And our speech, and our demeanor, and our deportment should be marked as those who belong to the family of God. Isn't that precious? It really is, I know. Tell me more. People for his own possession, his own special treasure, the darling of his own heart. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what know ye not, you're not your own, you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit with your God. You're bought with a price. That price, we know, is not silver nor gold. It's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he bought us that he might possess us. And we're a people for his own possession. Having been purchased at a tremendous price, the precious blood of God's own dear Son. Years ago, a lot of years ago, in fact, now, but our boy Peter, when he was quite young, we were living down near Birmingham, England at the time, and I was from Evangelistic Crusade, and Peter's next door with a Baptist minister's wife and the law. She's entertaining him in some particular way. But she saw me going through my garden gate. She said, if you look, Peter, she was coming up your garden path. When the wee fellow saw me, he got through the fence, came running down, I got my kids and just waited for him. He looked up and said, my own dadda! My own dadda! These words, my own, have never left me. Never left me. The thrill and the joy of that young lad saying, my own dadda! And you're not the Lord that's in your heart here, child of God. And he says, you're my own special treasure. You're a people beyond the ordinary. My own special treasure, my own by creation, my own by redemption, my own by precious life, my own by eternal covenant. Friends, you see that you belong to Him. Maybe look up to another state of the commencement of our talk. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I gave and forfully. O Christ, for thee alone. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. thee to be called the Son of God. The world knows us not because it knew him not. We are a people of dignity, and we are a people of distinction. May I ask you lovingly, are you tonight a child of God? Are you tonight born of God's Spirit? You know the joy of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. If not, why not this very night? What joy will be your joy and his joy? If you're recognizing there's that emptiness, there's something missing in that life of yours. That something is someone. That someone is the Holy Son of God. When I stand at the very heart door and say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. As he comes in by his spirit in your spirit mind, that there is a born in the family of God, and you're a new creation altogether, and you're going to say from your heart triumphantly, it's a new life. Oh, how he changed me. It's a new life. He rearranged me. It's a big life. It's a wonderful life. It's a great life. All this life is bundled up in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we're the people of destiny. He would say in the very next verse, behold, our beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. Oh, we are a people of destiny. We are the people of God. We are the children of God. And we've got a destiny. And our death is predestined. Isn't that wonderful? And you've got the thrill in your own heart that you're a people of personal destiny. You know your destiny. And you're going to be with him. And you're going to see him. And you're going to be like him. All the countless ages of eternity, and you look up to God and say, thank God, Jim, that is my destiny. I know with certainty in my own heart, that is my destiny, to be with him, in whose presence is fullness of joy, and there are pleasures forevermore. This can be your certainty tonight. I pray God with no doubt here. Pray God with none here doubting. He's the first salvation. You can know the glad assurance tonight, and change in your very heart. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Over the whole days of glory divine. Here is salvation, purchase of God. God of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior, all that belong. You too, in it? I'm sure it is. Tell me more. Then we are a people of duty in verse number 3. And every man has his hope set on him, purify himself even as he is pure. We are a people of destiny, and we are a people of purity. Those who have his hope set on in Christ, they shall purify themselves even as he is pure. This has a purifying influence in our lives. No one will tell me, and they're expecting Christ to come back at any moment, has not got a desire to live a holy life. It's a contradiction in terms. And no one will ever tell me, expecting Christ to come back at any moment, has not got a passion for the souls of men and women. Recognizing that Christ comes this very night, their grace runs with clothes, you are the offer of salvation. By faith, those that have this hope tell him, they purify themselves, even as he is pure. In my Bible camp years ago, we had a job getting the teenagers up there to wash. You haven't got that problem down there, down here, rather. But you know, those teenagers, the job to get them to wash. But this particular teenage boy, we saw him the day down the lake, and he got a great big scrubbing brush and a spiral soap, and he's given himself a wonderful lather. We were quite convinced that he'd been converted. We're quite sure you'll be saved. See, you're not only cleansed within, you're cleansed without when you become a Christian, you know, eh? Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible. It's a wonderful model, isn't it, eh? It really is. Cleansed within and without. I know that boy, he was 10 minutes before the mirror, trying to get his hair powdered properly, and so we were quite convinced, we're quite sure that boy had been saved. You know what happened? Half an hour afterwards, a car came running onto the campus,
and from the cloud of a teenage girl, they ran to his cabin to meet her. He was polishing up because his young lady was coming. If the lovey was coming, when we all polished up, smart and strong, you know, the hair of the place, then she and I, beloved, our beloved on the way. Are we all polished up? Everything clean about God? Remember, you're a child of God. In felt, not his Holy Spirit. This is an interesting picture. And it happened way back gone in Britain years ago. A young couple became engaged to be married. He said, dear, I'm going to Australia. I'm going to try and make good and I'll come back to you as soon as I possibly can. He wasn't too happy about his going away because they'd just become engaged to be married, but he knew her future depended upon it, and so off he goes. He gets a job, and after some time, letters are coming from England and from Australia every day. They're crossing each other somewhere across some of the ocean. But those little heartbeats of love are coming and how they look for those letters every day coming. Neither side of the ocean. They love each other. But then with the money taken with them from Britain, and the money is now earning there in Australia, he begins to build. He gets a lot and begins to build. He goes on building and building and building. All in view of the day when his bride will be here with him to share the pearl. All the cover scheme, all the drapes, all the furnishing, all in view of the homecoming of the bride, and all of what he felt she would like. Everything being prepared for the coming of the bride. But one day, she gets a cable, I'll arrive in Southampton a certain boat a certain day. Now everything which she's concerned takes color in view of that day. During the night, the green liner steams into the great harbor, the harbor there of Southampton. Hundreds upon hundreds of people down there on the harbor looking for the loved ones, but there are a few young people as oblivious to everybody else around them. The young fellow looking over the sun, the door, where is she? Young girl looking up, where can he be? She's looking for him, that crowd of people looking over the side. All of a sudden, they see each other. John, John, I see you. Oh, Mary, I see you, Mary. Oh, the excitement, oh, the joy in each young heart. Why? Oh, this is all no bound whatever. That John is just so real to them. Why? A John, why, Mary? Now he's going along this line from Apothec in a gas station incident some time ago. And the crowd were coming with me. And they could see the boat. And they could see the young fellow looking over the side. The young girl said, what do you think happened when their eyes met? A voice from the congregation said, he jumped overboard. I thought he meant he used to drown himself. Well, that wasn't the cause. The man really meant he was just so excited to see her, he didn't wait for the gangway to drown her. Oh, no. He jumped right over the junk, he jumped beside, so keen to be with her. But he didn't do that, really. The gangway drew down, he comes down the gangway, gets through customs, edges away through the crowd, gets away through the crowd towards where he's coming. They meet, they hug each other, they embrace each other, they look in each other's eyes, and all the excitement, all the joy bubbling up in these young hearts. Why? He's kept his promise. He's come back from it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And oh, I'm so glad I was loyal to him. I'm so glad I was true to him. I'm so glad I didn't flirt around with other boys when he was away. And now he's come back and all the joy in the girl's heart. Oh, beloved, beloved. Our beloved's gone to prepare a place for us. He did that through going to Calvary's full cross. The telegram's gone out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Going out to meet him, and should our eyes meet his eyes tonight, would he with the light? Oh, are you longing to look in those loving eyes? He sang a moment ago about seeing him face to face. Yes, dear, Laura sang that beautiful hymn about you all on the altar. She didn't know that night losing him tonight. Oh, I wonder the night is you all on the altar. Every 100 were saved on the altar for Jesus Christ. Or remember, he may come tonight. Even the 39 will burst the cloud. Rapture his church that he will ever listen. Oh, I wonder if you choose to save in your heart. Even to come, Lord Jesus. Even to come today. Even to come, Lord Jesus. Catch up thy bride away. Oh, how my heart is yearning. Longing for thy journey. Even to come, Lord Jesus. even to come today, my beloved, I'm wondering, are we searching around for the world, for the ways, the world, the politics of the world, the place of the world, the religion of the world, the maturity age we're living in, drawing the hearts of many away from that great count for eternity? Oh, maybe during these days of come, get to the fresh revelation of our lovely Lord Jesus, that we shall indeed lose sight of all else, and from a very heart cry, Lord, thou art enough. The mind and heart is filled. Oh, fix my eyes so wholly more than thee, that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see. Then your heart will sing up the night, even so come, Lord Jesus, even to come today. Why? Because you are a child of God. What manner of love is this that Father bestowed upon us, that Father loves you, he loves me. Now isn't that precious? Let us hurry to another, shall we? Let's go back again to the Gospel of John. And at one here I expect to be a real blessing and encouragement to us. We look at the Father's love for the Son's love for the Father, and the Son's love for us, and now the Father's love for us too. I love to develop that, the time will not allow. Now think of your love and my love for the Lord, the believer's love for Christ. Go back again to John 16 and verse number 27, the very same verse. And see what it says here. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me. Because ye have loved me. Isn't that just precious? This is now our love and for the Son. I like it. Now, keeping that before you, please go back to John 14 and verse number 50. John 14 and verse number 50. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus answered and said unto verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Remember how the Father proved his love for the Son and giving all that he had. The Son proved his love for the Father in front of Jesus. The Son proved his love for us by dying for us upon the cross. He loved me and gave himself for me. The Father loved us. He proved his love by giving his Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. He proved his love for us in the giving of his own Son. And now how are we going to prove our love for the Lord Jesus? By singing nice things about his love. Little catchy choruses about his love. We are going to prove our love by prompting. This is a new commandment I give unto you. It says in John 14 verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So the cross please, will you just for a moment, the verse number 12 of chapter 40-50. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. We're going to deal with that just in one moment. But just think of the Lord and his manifest grace here tonight, and nearer to us than we are one to the other. And he's saying to your heart, and saying to my heart, and said to Peter in John 21, lovest thou me more than? Lovest thou me more than? I remember years ago speaking at a large assembly, well known to many here. After the breaking of bread, man, one of the elders came up and said, would like to come home for lunch with us today. I said, thank you. And I said, I don't know. Have you mentioned my host and hostesses yet? And they're quite willing for you to come, probably glad to get rid of you, I don't know. I got to them. I said, yes. He said, I won't have gotten my daughter. Well, yes, she's going with an unsaved boy, and I want to talk to her. He said, I got complete confidence in Uncle Jim Bargle. I'll talk to him about this. I could remember the man, not his daughter. His daughter was out teaching another Sunday school, but at lunchtime she came home, and I knew it immediately. Not that many happy memories. At a well Bible school. After that, he said, Uncle Jim, will you please come and talk with me? I'll have to look at you about coming. Going into a room, he said, has Daddy talked to you about my association with this boy? And I said, yes, but I don't agree with your Daddy. I said to him, have you been nagging her? Have you been getting after her? Never nag a teenager. You'll get nowhere with them. Never nag them. Never keep after them. Love them. And by precepting my example, you'll win them. Never nag. She began to burn her heart and said, I'm not concerned so much about you and your boyfriend. I'm concerned about you and your relationship with Jesus. I remember that day where you got away with your Bible and your school notebook beneath that tree. I remember it well when you came running back and said, I surrendered my whole life to Jesus Christ. My all is on the altar of Him. He means everything to me. This girl did her nurse's training, went to a theological seminary. And now I want to answer your question. Do you remember the story of Ruth and Elimelech? Elimelech means my God is king. And as long as he was king in the family, everything was wonderfully well, going wonderfully well. But one day, he died. And no sooner had he died than Malan and Chilion, their two sons, went after Ruth and Orpah in a strange land as they conquered his own will. My dear, when Elimelech was there, and he was in control, my God is king, there is no desire to go after the two men. And when the Lord is Lord in your life, there is no desire to go after that mischievous holy man will. The young girl turned around and stopped me and said, Uncle Jim, I've been with many boys in this assembly. Many boys in neighboring assemblies. But I've been with this boy 8 times. There's never once he's taken my hand and never kissed me. I find higher morals and higher ethics in this boy than I do in some of the professors. Put me right back in my ear because I need to move. I said, I want to ask you a question. Is my God king in your life today? He is the answer. I'm going to leave you one question. I want you to answer not to me, but to the Lord who's asking you a question. Lovest thou me more than? Lovest thou me more than? Within 2 minutes, that girl was on her knees, a tear rolling down her face. She confessed her backsliding, confessed to come right back to him. Lord, I lay this young man upon the altar, calling by his name. I lay this young man upon the altar, taken completely out of my life. I surrender my all to thee today. That was in the afternoon. Evening, the auditorium was packed. They brought chairs up from the basement, sitting all around the place. I did something I very seldom do in a gospel meeting. I made a traffic appeal. And as those who want to trust Jesus Christ, as we're singing the last hymn, believers even walked the front. Some of those who came out was a strapping, fine-looking young man. He said, can I talk with you personally? And I said, yes, we went into the room together. And after time, that young man came right through for Jesus Christ. What is his name? He told me. Did you know so-and-so? Yes. Does she know you're here? Well, have you spoken to her this afternoon? No. She knows you're here at first because she sees you walking down the aisle. That young woman was willing to do business with God. I lay it all upon the altar, lay that young man upon the altar. And God gave him back to her that night, a converted man. A converted man. His honor God, he was honored. As he went up from the entire room, others were being dealt with in other parts of the building. But as he went up from the auditorium that night in the entire room, the first man he met was the devil's father. He went up and said, "Sir, I have been saved." You know what he said? "I'll wait and see." I overheard it, and I will talk with Mom. No, see. That young couple got together, went round together some long time. One day they said to each other, "We don't think we're going to God wants to be together. We love each other. Let us still be good friends." The young man, still not married. The girl married, and nephew of John Eden Baker, the late Prime Minister, and today is extremely happy. She's got 3 children. Then back to school boy from there. Fine cooking in there. "If you love me, you'll keep my command." Has the Lord been talking to you about believer's baptism? "If you love me." Has he been talking to you about remembering the Lord Jesus on the first day of every week, not just once a month, but remember upon the first day every week? His loving request. Has he been talking to you about going forth in the full-time ministry, going into all the world and preach the gospel? Has he been calling you to a district visitation work? The Lord proclaim his wonderful name. He's saying to all of us tonight, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body a living sacrifice. Holy, said one to God, which is your intelligence, your rational, your logical servant, it's your spiritual worship. May I ask you lovingly as I'm closing now, I haven't got time to give my message. May I ask you lovingly, are you willing tonight to prevail this injunction? And have you presented your body as a Christian? Has there been a moment in your life when your death and delivery of your young sister son tonight laid you all on the altar? Will you try? If not, why not tonight? Love is on me more than, is there something coming in between, hindering you from going all the way tonight? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the same to God? Why draw near to me with your lips while your heart is far from me? His love for us meant Calvary. It is all laid out upon that bloody cross. And we didn't let him. Oh, may we come tonight in whole heart, surrender from the very heart, cry with all sincerity. Love so amazing, so divine, to have my heart, my life, my home. All it needs is the precious Lord. How lovely thou art. Come and abide in, rule in my heart. Break every fetter thy face that we see. Then thou shalt ever. The Father's love is God. Son's love for the Father. Son's love for the Christian, for you and for me. The Father's love for us. Now our love for the Son, is manifest now in the form of Jesus. And then in fellowship, we will sit and speak I will walk by his sudden way. What he says, he will do. What he sends, he will go. Never be. Through his mouth. We're going to say again number 500 and 41. 541. Your long for sweet deeds and for faith to increase, and apparently fervently praise, that you cannot have rest, nor be perfectly blessed, until all on the altar is laid. These are remarkable words he gave us out one night, more than one night in Honolulu during the January, February crusade. The break was just tremendous. I got a note after I left, they had a testimony meeting. One of the elders had broken down during that crusade to give his whole life along with others. This one, a dear Japanese brother, godly man. And they said he gave his testimony how he had come to see that Christ now lived in him, that Christ owned everything, that he belonged completely to the Lord Jesus, and how he had laid his life. He said, I'm going to sing it. And Hagley Free broke down and began to sob, and the whole place just melted. Because they were willing to do business with God. Oh, what a weekend it would be right here in part of the park. If only one here tonight come to recognize what it meant for Christ the literally living in there and all upon all. May God touch your heart. My heart to sing the blue note. 541 singing clock within prayer. Thank you. offering. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart God the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest. Who can tell all the love he will send from above? Let's see, come on. God has been speaking to all of our hearts during these particular days. We have been very conscious of the Spirit's movement in all of our lives. And I wonder, have we faced the question? Can we answer it with absolute certainty? Yes, Lord. As far as I know, my all is on the altar of sacrifice. Have thy way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold all our beings absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit all to see. Christ only, always living in thee. We believe, Lord, that is the prayer of each heart bowed in thy presence now. Maybe some have never yet come into personal contact with you, Lord Jesus. We pray to be the very night when our hearts are open. Being only as our very own Lord and Savior, one worthy to be able to set and arrange the law in each and every compartment of our heart. We thank this assembled company for the quiet hush, for the veiling in the auditorium tonight, for the definite evidence of this first operation. And our Lord, we just command each other freely. May we be very conscious of thy presence as we go to our places of abiding. Set a watch to our lips that we may not sin against thee, our God. To grant the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouth may be acceptable in thy sight, our God, our strength and our youth. Bring us up, O God, in the morrow night, Lord, in the spirit of it. May thy glory and thy power and thy measure fill this whole place. May we see no one. We can be of any help to anyone, do make it known that's why we're here. God bless you. Thank you for coming.